Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode. In today's training, I want to walk you through the three pillars of self-leadership. Now, why should you listen to a health coach about self-leadership? Well, frankly, I think health is the perfect mirror of self-leadership. If you want to make a huge amount of impact in this world, you want to lead others, you want to help others, you've got to first be able to lead yourself. And there's no better mirror than that in health, in anchoring those key boring steps in your day to showing up as your best. What are those small little promises that you make to yourself that you're either keeping or you're breaking? And being able to anchor in the morning walk, being able to hit your water intake goal, being able to get the workout in and push for that 11th rep when no one else is looking. Those are the internal conversations that you have with yourself that make all the difference in how you lead yourself and therefore the trickle-on effect of how you lead others. This is a bit of a impromptu training because I want to walk you through some of the key frameworks that we go through with all of our clients on a monthly basis with one of our mindset talks. And this is fundamentally a draft version of what I'll be going through with them next Monday. Being able to show you or give you an inside scoop into how much of an impact this truly makes towards your health. Because right now you likely know what you need to do nutritionally and training wise to move in the right direction. It might not be all of the steps and then we could absolutely look at refining, but you fundamentally want to contract a couple more muscles, probably eat a bit more protein and drink a bit more water. Those steps themselves are not all that complicated. But the real estate between your ears, the conversations you have with yourself, the ability to follow through on those small promises that you either make or break really are fundamentally all the difference. And when you get yourself in a room with other people that are raising the standard of themselves, with people that want to feel great every day and find opportunities in their day to show up better, that becomes a really special spot. I think that's the key part of a community. And I thought that was soft and fluffy for a really long time. Give me the tactics and let me get to work. But when you start to surround yourself with people that are really showing up in a way that just elevates your personal standard through osmosis, I think that really makes a huge difference. And the more I've been involved in these types of communities myself, the more and more I look for it and the more I appreciate it. So I hope you enjoy today's training. It's going to be a slightly longer one, a slightly more in-depth one. It might be confronting in a couple ways, but I don't make these trainings to make you feel warm and fluffy. I make these trainings to make sure you can move forward and you feel happy about your progress. You feel happy about yourself at the end of the year. So where I want to start is fundamentally looking at this through three key pillars. The first one is going to be talking about boring is the new sexy. Second one is your actions over emotions. And last one is what does that example really look like to lead others? So ultimately, the reason I want to start with this is because I think to achieve these big things, we think that it needs to be some big extravagant thing, but fundamentally, it's the small things that we keep missing. What are the little incremental steps that actually build up to what's happening in front of us? And when we start to look at those daily commitments, as we mentioned, to ourselves, we start to be a lot more closer to what those long-term goals look like. So the big idea here is that confidence in itself is simply the belief that we will follow through on the things we said we would. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. And when you break that promise to yourself over and over and over again, confidence is super low. When you hold that promise to yourself over and over and over again, your confidence is high because you know your follow through is there. And I think this is a key part of what those three pillars really will look like as part of self-leadership. And I think the big one that I want to start with is that being extraordinary in any area, whether it's health, wealth, and relationships, it comes from doing ordinary things for an extraordinary period of time. I think one example that I can share personally is our podcast. It's one of those things that I thought about doing for 5 years as we started to get into this coaching space. We started to help more and more clients. And then we finally started to get podcasts out there. And I listened to a podcast myself that said that you're already in the top 1% of podcasts if you do more than 8 episodes. More than 8, not 800 or 8,000, 8 episodes. And that showed me how low the bar truly is to creating something of value, creating something that is able to grow and start to build from there. Because ultimately what it is your ability to fight your own emotions, show up day in, day out, whether you feel like it or not. We've now done a podcast every single Thursday at 2 p.m. for the last 7 years. And the goal was not to grow to a huge number of listeners. For us, it was actually just another way to provide value to our clients in a way that they didn't have to sit down and watch another video, but could rather put this in their ear, listen to it as a way to solidify some of our key anchors as they go through some of our coaching programs. Now, fast forward, I didn't look at any of the stats for years, and now I got an email the other day to say that we're now having 1,000 downloads a week, right? And that was one of those things that, again, it's not millions, but it's at this point where, although the goal was not to focus on downloads, we're now getting an appreciable amount of downloads. That's 4,000 a month, where people reach out to us every single week on how impactful this is. People that are listening to this on video, on YouTube, either on podcast or wherever else you listen/watch this, this is now going out on all these different platforms and helping thousands, if not millions of people around the world, which is pretty cool, right? And all it started from and all it continues to be is showing up at 2 p.m. every single week to do this video. Being able to show you what's front of mind, what I'm working on, what I think will help you the most from the trends that I've seen coming through our communities, to present a certain topic. You know, this is the first January of the year. I don't officially start till next week, but what does that mean when this is actually a personal pursuit of showing up with the things I said I would do every single week, all right? That's ultimately what that podcast has done for me, and it's just a very simple example of how many different ways this can show up in your own life of showing up in very simple ways on a very consistent basis, regardless of emotions. And I think that's where I want to go today, which is boring is the new sexy. What that means is everything that you likely want out of life right now is on the other side of work you're not doing. Anchoring the fact that this boring work is what needs to be done is the only way to actually achieve it. Therefore, it's kind of the sexy thing, right? By doing the simple thing every day, it achieves the thing you really strive to do. Boring is the new sexy. And that becomes a really nice phrase, or a really nice way for me to lean into the things that I don't feel are new and novel and exciting, because they're actually the things moving me forward. Right? Boring is the new sexy. When we get away from that red button syndrome of where we constantly get pulled to the next thing, the new shiny, this could work better, rather than just staying on course, it starts to make a really big difference, right? One of these phrases was brought to me back in high school. I'm sure you know it, but the grass is greener where you water it, right? Not on the other side. And being able to get away from this blind optimism to really understanding that both sides die unless you water it allows you to get closer to those personal commitments, the boring work that needs to be done, regardless of emotion. So really from a micro level, what does that actually look like? What I'm talking about here is, for me, it was obviously the podcast, right? Showing up every week and doing this thing. It could be that deep writing that you need to do. It could be the morning workout, right? It's the boring thing that you've done for 10 years and you don't even feel like you're motivated to do it, but you're going to show up regardless, right? You can be told that you're too tired or you're too busy or there's a more important task that needs to be done by 9 a.m. But it's a skill to put that aside and say, this is the time for my morning workout. When you start to get to the place where you realize that distraction of the email, of the project, of the thing is the easy option, you start to realize that leaning into this control of your attention becomes a much better way to feel like you can move forward. The macro version of this, which is the harder one, but we see it happen all the time, is sometimes you're actually an incredibly disciplined human, right? And sometimes you beat yourself up a little bit too much. Maybe it's actually becoming self-critical. But it's not actually in the moment that's the issue. It's the overall design, and we haven't taken the time to look at this of more of a macro level. And that requires a bit more of a delayed gratification, because it's not going to change overnight. But it can be something that you look at changing over the next couple months or a couple years, right? And this can be something like asking, are you in the right job? Are you actually pre-planning the week and getting closer to what that ideal week looks like? That's not going to be reshuffled overnight. Is that truly the best time of day to work out for you? Right? Are you actually giving yourself capacity to do deep work? For a lot of people we work with, they're so scattered in their day, whether you're executive, CEO, a business owner, a nurse, whatever it might be, the scattered jobs that we see mean that the really important work that actually moves the needle forward for you doesn't get done because we can't say no. We can't stop helping people in the times that we need to help ourselves. And getting closer to an actual strategic macro, whether a week, month, or even year, to work towards what that week and what those structures look like to protect your energy, protect your focus, to get those key things done in your day. And I think that gets closer to the fundamental understanding that most of us have not taken the time to either, one, build out the perfect week, or two, take the time to build out a bit more of a understanding of where our time is getting pulled. Because there could probably be a couple of things on that list that could be delegated. There's probably a couple of things there that we're good at, but it absolutely drains our energy. And being able to, if we work as part of a team or we own the company or a certain division, we're able to start having that discussion with the people around us to really build back to our deep work that builds our energy back, builds our productivity back, and starts to get key anchors in place. This is where that self-leadership comes into place, because it's no longer about the workout or the emails or any one thing, but rather how you structure your day to get those key levers to move forward. Because it's not about doing 1,000 things in your day, it's about doing one or two things key and, you know, and actually getting those done. When we start to get closer to knowing what those are, we can start to ruthlessly remove the other crap that's just filling our day. So the first one there fundamentally is boring is the new sexy. When we start to protect our time to do the boring work, we start to move forward. Hey, I hope you're really enjoying this episode. I wanted to take a quick second to say, please reach out to me on social media. Some people worry about interrupting me or sending me emails, but I love to hear how these podcasts and videos are impacting you and what future content you'd really like to hear. So if you could reach out to me and let me know how this podcast has helped or what you'd like us to dive into, that'd be amazing, and we'll make sure that we bring the most relevant content to you moving forward. Also, if you know someone that you think this could really impact and benefit, they could listen to on their morning walk or their commute or when they're in the kitchen, then it'd be amazing if you can tag them in a post or simply share this on Spotify or wherever else you listen with them. It makes a massive difference in making sure that we can serve and help as many people as we can. All right, let's get back to the episode. Awesome to have you here. The second quote I really love here is, as I grow older, I pay less attention to what people say. I watch what they do. And one of the things that, you know, caught me by surprise actually at a New Year's event or you know, a party thing that we went to, was I went outside, was talking to a couple of people, and then like three people brought out their vapes. And right away, you know, I was just in conversation, didn't give them a weird look or talk about it a certain way, or at least I don't think I did. And they were straight away like, oh no, I'm going to quit soon, right? And the amount of times I hear that, one, it's actually personal judgment because I didn't say anything. And two, they don't even believe it themselves, right? And over time, I've seen this pattern play over and over again where they feel something is unhelpful to their own personal goal. I really try as best I can, and I'm sure I could be better, but I try as best I can to not be judgmental of something like vaping because of something, it's something they do. But in that moment, they know they don't want to be doing it. So they project that and say, I'm not going to do this any longer. You know, I'm going to quit soon, right? And we talked about this a lot on our alcohol video recently, right? When you have that self-judgment of not drinking, you say, I'm not drinking tonight because this and you know, I'm on a diet, right? And it just opens all this vulnerability for you to be peer pressured into having a drink. Whereas if you have that confidence of either having a drink or not having a drink, and you say, I'm not having a drink tonight, that's all good, thanks, you know, or I'm not drinking tonight, thank you, there's no need to explain yourself. You just, no, I'm good, thanks. You know, and the amount of times that is the sole difference between being peer pressured and feeling weird about not drinking versus, no, I'm good tonight, and end of conversation, right? When you start to realize that you're actually justifying to yourself, you're not justifying to someone else, it changes that language because you're leading yourself and you're not having to now fill that gap with something else. So what we're really looking at here is self-confidence. And like I mentioned before, confidence is the belief that we'll follow through on what we said we would. So when that person said to me, oh, I'm going to quit this soon, right? I could hear the lack of confidence in their voice because they've already tried to quit 4 or 5 times. And I heard that later on in the night. And I was like, yeah, cool. Heard that before. So getting to that space where it's not about what you say, it's about what you do. And when we can start to, maybe it's not the vaping. Maybe it's just making a bed or going for a morning walk or actually just drinking some water in your day or not having 10 coffees. It could be something where just something small that nobody even has to know about, but it becomes something that you are holding yourself to. And the smaller, the better, because it becomes those little slices in your self-confidence that are really getting in the way. And when we have a lack of self-confidence, we become that person that was, you know, telling me why they were going to stop vaping. We start to project it. So when we start to get to a point that we've made our bed every day for a month, or we've gone for that morning walk every day for a month, or that we have actually stopped vaping for a month, we have undeniable proof that we followed through on the thing we said we'd do. And we don't need to project it, right? It just is a internal confidence factor that we now have next to our name, that we know that we've made a difference. So the big thing here that I want to ask is, you know, what if you held the view of yourself at the same standards or higher than you hold the view of others? Now, that might sound like a really simple question, but there's layers and layers and layers to this, because fundamentally, this is what gets in the way of you trying that new thing, breaking that habit, is we worry so much about the view of others, of what they might think of us, when they're not even thinking about us, right? Everyone's playing the movie in their head about them in first person, of what the world looks like through their eyes. So when you realize that the way you're thinking about yourself is exactly the same way the other person is thinking about them, you start to realize how minimal they're actually thinking about you. And getting back to a point of holding the standard, holding the view of yourself to the same standards, if not ideally higher than others, it starts to make a significant difference to the standard and the way you talk to yourself, because that workout becomes something that you follow through on, because otherwise you would lower that view of yourself. But getting to that point where you start to anchor in how I do one thing's how I do everything, I think is a really nice frame of reference. I think it's said quite a lot. It's potentially a cliche, but getting to a point where you start to show up to the workout like you do for the 12-page marketing report you need to do, or the same way that you conduct your team meeting, right? You probably have a certain standard that you want to show up as. If you're not showing up at that standard, you're like, damn, I know I could do that better. And that meal or that workout or whatever that might be starts to become that same standard. That's really where self-confidence comes through, because it's not just in the one field of career or health or relationships. It's in all three. And you start to see those key things come through. So for me personally, it becomes, what are those rules that I hold myself to? And I think these are very helpful no matter who you are, of where you could maybe apply this to your life. The this, then, that scenario is a nice habit building framework we use with tons of clients, right? I do this before I allow myself to do that. It might be I do my workout before I sit on the couch. I drink my water before I have my coffee. Whatever it might be, you have that this, then, that rule that you set up in your day so that you have your personal rule. If I don't miss a day of exercise, right, I find some version to feel like I can move forward. And this last one could actually go both ways, right? If you're an under-eater, it might be a case of I'm going to anchor in this meal at 12 o'clock regardless of whether I'm hungry or not. Or if you're an overeater, it's going to be, look, if I'm not hungry for a meal, I'm not just going to graze, right? I'm getting back to that level of anchoring in a protein-dominant meal. Those become some really cool rules. So the second one there, you know, first one was boring is the new sexy, getting to the point that you get that boring work done, because that truly moves the needle forward for the things you actually want to do. The second one is going a little bit more refined into what are those personal rules around how we build up our personal confidence, around how are we creating or how do we remove those little slices to our self-confidence every single day. The last pillar that I want to go through here is, I think, encapsulated really nicely with this quote: an example is not the main thing in influencing others, it's the only thing. And this was, we do an expert call with our long-term clients every single month. And this, in December, we had one of our own clients actually present on how Body Reset had actually changed not just their health, but their relationships and some other key aspects of their life. And he came into this presentation with a really cool perspective of, I'm doing these things for my own personal health. How could I apply those same principles to my relationships? And it started to become a discussion around him showing up, his name is Kirk, about showing up as that Kirk 2.0 in his relationships and just deciding what he wanted out of his relationships and how he was going to show up. Nothing changed on the other side, just how he was showing up. And when he was able to do that and show us through the shifts in his own personal relationships and experiences, it was really, really interesting and a really nice insight in that trickle effect of your own personal health and your own personal leadership. So this little diagram was actually shown to me recently, and it's been something I've seen come through in tons of different interactions lately. And ultimately, it's the understanding of these three ego states. Ideally, we want to stay in that conscious here and now adult state. But we can start to, if we're not conscious about it, move into either this parent state, which can either be, you know, really structured or really critical, or sometimes it can be nurturing. Or the opposite, it can be that childlike state, which might be, you know, spontaneous and free, or it might be rebellious. And obviously there's positives and negatives to each one of those parent and childlike states. But being able to approach certain relationships with this understanding that if I approach a certain relationship with a critical parent mindset, then I'm going to be likely combated with a rebellious childlike state from the next person. And this is their own personal triggers and their own tendencies, but it can be triggered through how we show up in that relationship. And you've probably seen that happen with, you know, one day you show up kind of in a bit more direct way and you get bonded to a certain way, and the next you come in kind of relaxed, nice and chilled, and you get a completely different human, or a different person comes in a different way and they respond completely differently. That's an example, I think, of those different ego states and how that plays out in these relationships. And ultimately what I'm looking for here is, this is a huge topic and we can go into this forever, but the one key aspect I want to address for right now is your control in how you approach a certain discussion can fundamentally shift how the other person decides to respond unconsciously from a level of that childlike or that parent-like state, or actually getting back to the here and now, being in a present, responsive, adult-like discussion that just feels like it's on the same wavelength. This is something I'm super mindful of in a coaching environment, making sure that we're coming into each relationship being on the same wavelength, not being above or below. I hate those coaching relationships where they're always talking down on you, or if it's constantly, everything's going well, but I'm going to just completely push the others under the table. That becomes a really big awareness in your own awareness. So what I want you to ask yourself right now is, how could you audit your own behavior potentially on how you show up in certain relationships and the responses you're getting back? If there's certain relationships or certain times of the day when you know you're cranky and you keep having that same argument or that same blunt response, or the response that's not particularly helpful in that relationship, how could I maybe show up a little bit differently? What's the awareness I can shed light on to my own conversation, my own way I show up, that really could shift my relationships for the better? And when you get to that place, I think that really gets you back to a point of self-leadership. Have a think about how that shows up in your own daily interactions, because if you don't lead yourself, you're not going to lead anyone else. Fundamentally, what we've gone through here, guys, is self-leadership, from my view at least, is built through three things. Are you doing the boring work yourself? Are you being that example? Two, are you building your own personal rules and actually sticking to them? That's the key. And then the last one is the self-awareness to see, I'm 50% of every relationship I move into, and if I'm not liking the response I'm getting, how can I shift my side of it? When I build those three keys, I think it fundamentally makes a huge difference in how you show up, in the reactions and responses you get from others, and your ability to lead others moving forward. This is a huge part of health. This is why I love what we do, because it's not about just watching what you eat and training a little harder. It's about how you conduct yourself in your day, about how you conduct yourself around others, and how those other people that are watching you that might not you not even know are seeing you. When you show up in a way that you're proud of and other people start to see that, health becomes a really cool thing, because it's your own personal standard of yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you show others, how you have that ripple effect on the world. And health, wealth, relationships, whatever area you're trying to improve in, this becomes the cornerstone of key habits of success moving forward. Everything else you want to do in health really builds from it. So I hope you enjoyed today's training. Bit of a deeper one. Gives you an insight into our world around the real mindset of making this stuff stick long term, because consistency really is the key of all of the stuff that we need to build in as some of the foundations, because nothing sexy works unless we nail the basics. Hope you enjoyed today's team. We'll see you on the next one. Bye. This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.